Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, welcome to episode 4 of the Sandman reviews on Dark Place Dreamers. I'm joined by Sandy Dark Place Robert.
How are you getting on, Sandy Dark Place Robert? That sounds like a bad trip to the beach, to be honest.
I don't know. I feel like you needed a slightly more ridiculous name.
Let's stick with Dark Place Robert. Okay. Just go with that
you
one.
You see, this is how you make someone like a name they don't like. You make it worse. So just bring back the slightly bad one instead of the worst bad one.
Oh, yeah, this is not how I wanted to be introduced.
So we have watched episode 4 of The Sandman on Netflix moments ago. Well, not moments ago. We did like a 20-minute religious discussion somehow in between. But
I think that was apt for this episode. Like, this episode does spark that conversation.
Yeah, it did. It's not, as people listen, they'll realize that it wasn't like a completely random thing to do. But overall thoughts on the episode, because it's losing me again.
Negative. Yeah. I actually didn't enjoy. This was my least favorite in the entire series.
Oh, of all, including the ones we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I suppose this one deviates so far from the comic books, and there's just a lot of mock tension, mock drama.
Yeah.
It's just put there for the sake of, let's put in some tension.
Yes, I think that's very fair, and we'll get to that in a moment. Mostly what I didn't like about it was the aesthetic. I mean, there's two separate stories, one of which I actually really do like. But the main one, I suppose, with the dream, I don't like the scenes in hell, the aesthetic. It's big monsters and massive big places and a lot of CGI and yep. It's like I thought I was watching the Hobbit one, the Lord of the Rings or something, you know.
I liked it, and I thought they did for I don't know what the budget is, but they did a really good job on reconstructing hell. Like the scenery, everything, like even you commented, the pillars, the roof.
The pillars were nice. Yes, the pillars were nice.
That chamber was actually really, really nice. They did a very good job on the whole visualization.
I think when they were in that chamber, that was fine. I just didn't like the kind of arrival and the big grandioseness of seeing the whole place. It gave me this big epic world fantasy vibe that I don't really like, you know.
World building is, it's an exercise unto itself.
It's not, I don't really like that type of stuff, you know. It gave me like a Lord of the Rings kind of vibe or something along those lines, which doesn't work for me, you know.
Fair enough.
But anyway.
Not your cup of tea, but I mean, there's not much.
I don't know a lot about tea.
You do. And you know, but you got to know which cups you don't like. What's your least favorite tea?
I don't like
this. Is the real hard hitting questions here, Dean.
I actually don't like any fruity teas. I don't know. It's kind of a monstrosity. Do you know what? A quick addendum. I tried the bubble tea recently, and that was horrendous. It was almost offensive, really. Like, it was just not right.
I don't even know what the bubble teas are. They've got tapioca in them.
Yeah, the little bubble things, which I don't know why I need that.
Are they actually, is it an actual tea or is it just like a...
Well, I think I made a mistake by choosing the one that was an actual tea and I went for an oolong. And essentially it was like I just drank a cold cup of tea. So I've since realized that I should have chosen like more exotic flavors, you know. But what I did was I spent £4 or £5 on that, took a few sips, threw it straight into the bin, and then stopped by somewhere else and bought a tea.
I mean, why didn't you just give it to somebody else?
Well, you know, it was kind of like a monstrosity that deserved to be burnt. But look,
Okay.
we've alienated all of our new listeners. We'll get back to the Sandman. So essentially, we've got two threads in this episode. We've got the dream with the flipping raven, going to hell to get his helmet. And we've also got a separate story with John, good guy John, the who's
No,
escaped who's escaped from the asylum after his mother died from amulet related causes. That's what on the coroner's report, amulet related misadventures. And you know, so now he's trying to get somewhere where he used to live, or we don't really, he never gets there in the episode, but he asks for a lift from a kindly stranger. And that's it. Now, what I like about this episode is that it is linear. It's two separate stories, but they're both quite linear. There's no messing around, no jumping back and forth. But you could also argue that nothing really happens. Like his story, he just goes on that lift. And we're going to talk a little bit about it because I really like it. Not a massive amount happens there. And this is a slow episode, I think, because the dream goes to hell and they do a battle, fine. But that's it. You know, there's not as many events in this episode.
yeah, I think that's fair to say. I mean, the big gain here is that he's set out to do something. He's set out to find his three tools. He's already found his
He's got the sand
fire
already.
sand from the previous episode, and now he's found his this episode he sets out to find his helm. So I think this episode it does end on a good point where the
Yes.
two
And I
meet.
think I like John's story and I like the overall arc of the dream story. I just didn't like some of the details and imagery within hell, that's all. I didn't like the big epic fantasy vibe, essentially, but that was my only problem with
I suppose, yeah, you like pretty things, and there's nothing pretty in hell apart from Lucifer.
even then, you know, could have been better.
But
So
yeah, the casting was an odd choice.
the casting was the female short blonde-haired knight. Is it Bronn from Game of Thrones?
I'm actually going to look that up now. I should have looked this up before, so I give the illusion that I know a lot more
But
than I actually do.
it was her, and I think that she does fine in the role, actually. I think that I liked her more here than I ever did in Game of Thrones. So there's that.
Yeah, I mean, it's Gwendolyn Christie is the actress who played. I actually can't remember what she was in Game of Thrones, but it was
Just
just an
something
odd
like
casting
Bronn or
choice.
something. But anyway, yeah.
She
I didn't.
certainly got the height for it, but I mean, I don't know. I was, what's the name of that statue? There's two statues. There's one that was commissioned by an artist by the Catholic Church, and they didn't like it because it was too sexy. So they asked his brother they commissioned his brother to do another statue to replace it, and he made it even sexier.
Okay, this is news to me. I do not know this story. I immediately love
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of Lucifer I wanted. Whereas they went with a very innocent, cute,
Yeah, a little bit.
with the curly blonde hair. It was just very, it kind of missed it for me. I don't,
Okay.
it was an odd choice. But anyway,
We'll
should we
treat
start
our
at the
two
beginning or are
stories
we?
separately if we may, yeah?
Yeah.
Can we talk about good guy John first?
Should we save that one and just get the
Ooh.
other one out of the way? Because
Okay.
I really didn't enjoy Hell. Funny enough.
You know, that's a shock, right? Who would ever have thought that sentence would be uttered? Okay. So the dream goes to hell, if you haven't guessed that already, accompanied by some kind of horrible cartoon raven man. And in my first thoughts on this episode were he's doing his 15-year-old emo, dark and broody, serious thing, and the little chirpy raven. It's just so, they just don't go together. Like, they don't mesh properly. I don't like the two voices together.
Okay.
So.
That's totally fair to say. I think it resonates with that whole disconnect between dream and reality, which is just you can have two things that shouldn't really mix, that can happen in a dream and do work, but this it's a bit jarring. I just don't like the Raven in general at all in this episode in particular.
Yeah. So now, and I will have more complaints about the Revan,
Yeah,
but
this is really negative. It's just constantly like I didn't enjoy it. I just didn't enjoy it. Here's why I didn't enjoy
I
it.
like good guy
Horrible.
John. We'll get to him. But so we go to hell and he meets this kind of gatekeeper. First of all, there was some imagery that we thought had a Dante's Inferno style vibe with some of these dead guys kind of like buried into the walls and things like that. So there is some mythology and some imagery that we did like. But essentially what happens is he goes to meet Lucifer, who is the girl that we mentioned, and he asks, you know, where can he find his helmet? Now, I immediately find it very interesting because on Earth, I think he's seen as being very powerful, you know, and there's this awe and respect for him. And obviously in his own realm with the librarian, you know, as well. Whereas here, they kind of treat him like an idiot and they have no respect for him. And that surprised me. And I'm not saying it's good or bad, it just took me off guard a little bit.
I think it makes sense because, you know, he's dealing with a bunch of demons that, you know, they don't even respect the creator of the universe. They actually rebelled against him and got cast into hell. So it does make
It
sense
makes
that
sense. Yeah. Fair
now
point.
the dream is something completely different. There are lots of in the comics, there's lots of different deities. They actually have, you know, Norse mythology mixed in with Egyptian religion as well. So these are all things that actually are tangible and exist. But anyway, carrying on with the story.
So the most important, the salient point here is that the devil's name is Lucifer Morningstar. And we looked it up to discover that essentially Lucifer and Morningstar mean the same thing because one's taken from the Greek and one's taken from the Latin. So essentially, his her first name and her surname are the same name.
It's a bit like Mario Mario.
Yeah, it's that. So she says, "Yes, let's find out where we can get your helmet. Look at all these millions of demons down below." One of them has it, and then very patronizingly is kind of like, "So would you like to question them all one by one?" You know, and he's like, "That won't be necessary." And then he walks away, and she's like, "Oh, giving up so soon?" And then he conveniently has some kind of ability to just recall anything that is his whilst he's in hell. So then the person holding the helmet, well, person, the demon holding the helmet, it disappears. And it's like, well, that's a very convenient plot device to save us some time.
That bloody annoyed me because in the comics he goes down and walks
Yeah.
amongst all the demons and is able to use the sand to find his helmet.
That would have made a lot more sense.
Already there's that, like, there's nearly an anxiety about walking or walking through a crowd of basic monsters, and your safety's already called into question. Whereas he's safe in this room with Lucifer, admittedly, and another demon, and then he calls the demon that has his helm up. So then
And this
already
demon
that kind of
also doesn't show him respect. You know, Lucifer's one thing, but this random demon also doesn't show him respect and says, "I'm gonna get your helmet back. Fight me for it."
well, it's, yeah, no, he's a petulant child. Like, that's the entire point. He's an idiot. You can't expect an idiot to, like, show respect.
Fair. And then there's another part where I believe verges away from what happens in the comics because instead of him fighting, for some reason, he makes the challenge, and then after it's accepted, they're like, "Oh yeah, but somehow, by the rules of hell, Lucifer is my champion and will fight in my stead." And
So
it's like, why?
yeah, that really, 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 really annoyed me. Like,
Yeah, it didn't make any sense.
I do not have the vocabulary that I can use here to actually express why this annoyed me, because it actually changes the entire tone of everything that happened, and everything that is coming to happen in future episodes. Hopefully that there's more episodes for this.
No, it's all cancelled. No.
Oh no. Well, they may as well now. They may as well. Like, it was always a big question of, Sandman versus Lucifer. That's a big fight. That's, an amazing power struggle, whatever. So for them to fight so early on and for the Sandman to win, it kind of undermines Lucifer's threateningness, I guess.
Yeah, I would agree. I did not find Lucifer threatening in any way, to be honest.
Whereas it's always like, tease it and leave them wanting more and things like that. So in the comic books, he challenges the demon himself. I can't remember the demon's Chrono. Do you remember the
Oh,
demon's
I don't
name?
remember the demon's name, no.
Chronozone or
Oh, no,
something?
it was Chromium. It was along those lines, anyway.
Something along the way. I have to tell him, my lord. So they change fights, and it's just from that point, it's quite disappointing because in the actual comics as well, he's fighting down in the pits along with all the other demons surrounding him, which again adds a lot more tension. No, he's still up in a safe little room, and he's talking to this very pleasant, good-looking person.
Yeah, I didn't find Lucifer to be threatening or scary or like any more respectable even than he was. I said like they don't really show him any respect. I didn't find Lucifer to be like this great, exalted, respected kind of character either. They were just like two people talking. I don't know.
Yeah, it just didn't work for me.
Also,
But
while we were trying to remember his name, that reminded me, Corinthian does not appear in this episode. Corinthian McDisco glasses.
I don't think he needed to appear in this episode. John is pretty much doing a good job of being the bad guy here.
True. It's just the first time we haven't seen him, but that's true. So, if we get John some disco glasses, we're grand. So, one detail we skipped is on his way into hell after dealing with the gatekeeper, he passes a girl in a cage, and he
Nada.
does something. What's it called? Sorry, nada,
Nada, yeah.
nada, Spanish for nothing. I don't know if that's relevant. And he then appears. So she's like an African girl essentially. So then he appears looking like her to her, like he's no longer this like white emo guy. But the interesting point here is he does the same thing he did with the sand when he basically says, oh, this is the only thing keeping her alive. Yoink, bye-bye. He does the same thing because she's like, I've been trapped in this cage for 10,000 years or something. And do you not still love me? And he's like, yes, I still love you, but I haven't forgiven you. Well, see ya. And he all walks away and leaves her in the cage for 10,000 more.
I don't know. Should I like? It's explained much later on. I hope they come back to the storyline. This is actually really, really interesting. I'm not going to say anything actually.
Okay.
But it's actually an incredibly important moment that they really glossed over. They don't spend a lot of time on it.
I like the juxtaposition where he does show when we see him looking in his other guise to her, he shows emotion and says, like, yes, I do still love you. And then he kind of snaps back to his emo self and just is like, well, off we go, and just leaves it there.
I think at that point when he walks away, he's more annoyed at the demon because the demon that was guiding him to Lucifer deliberately took him past Nada. Also, I love the fact that her name is Nada and it means nothing in Spanish.
Spanish, yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. I should have copped on to that, but that essentially means that the dream loves nothing. Oh.
I would like to see more times where he completely disregards things and it's just like, oh, this is terrible. Oh, well, I kind of want this in every episode now.
The episode after the next episode, I really, really enjoyed. And there's a lot of that kind of stuff. You see the dream actually trying to make a human friend. It's a
Okay,
bizarre one.
I'm looking forward to that now, actually. That would be fun. But look, let's kind of wrap up this arc. Basically, yes, he does get his helmet. How does he get it? They have fight. And the way that they fight is essentially horrendous. Is that fair?
Yeah. How it's portrayed in the show is horrendous. They don't explain any of the rules of this. It's supposed to be the oldest game that they're playing, and it's basically storytelling, aggressive storytelling. In the comics, it's done as you just say you're a thing, somebody else says you're another thing. It's very childlike, and that's why it's called one of the earliest games.
Yeah.
But there are certain rules. One of the rules being that if you pause or take too long, you lose.
None of that is explained here, which is a shame. But there's also a moment. Sorry, I should just mention, because I said I would come back to why I don't like the Raven. He has a line in and around here somewhere where he kind of stands up to Lucifer. This is a guy who supposedly had just died, didn't know what was going on, has been assigned to be the Raven by the librarian. The guy doesn't even want him to be his Raven. He's kind of like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden he's like, no, Lucifer, like, we will not leave without our helmet. We came for our helmets. Like, all right, you've developed into your role pretty quickly there, Raven.
Yeah, that. Ah, the Raven.
That's so
Nevermore.
Raven.
That
But
is a brilliant shout out. Wow.
yeah, so look, the way they do the fight here is we see the imagery. So she says, the
I am a
second
dire
one,
wolf.
yeah, the second one is a snake, the first one is a wolf. And then we see a wolf, and the wolf's able to harm him. The problem is, he then just says, like, I'm a thing that kills wolves. And it's like, oh, well, how clever of you. There goes the wolf dispelled. And then she says, I'm a snake, and we kind of see his skin change as though he's getting like venom from the snake. And then he says the same thing. He's like, and I'm a thing that kills snakes. It's like, oh, well, there, that's the snake gone. Like, this could go on for a while.
So yes, in the comics they don't deal with any, like they're just telling a story, but in the actual show they are suffering the damage that they're talking about. So whenever one of them says, oh, I'm a falcon, I've got the big sharp talons, suddenly she's got scratches on her face. So
Yeah, so he's
it's
the
about
falcon that kills snakes, yeah.
each thing hitting the other person to the point where they just fall down and don't say anything else.
It was silly, but also I just find the game silly, man. You know, because that could have gone on forever. Like, I'm a bear. Okay, I'm a guy who killed a bear. Like, what's the purpose of this, you know? But then he
You
messes
never say,
up.
I'm a guy that kills bears.
What? Well, he
That's
messes up.
another rule. Wait, no, that's another rule. If the thing you say doesn't kill the thing that you've already come up with, then,
And
you've
I didn't
lost.
see any rules explained. But he then goes on the defensive by saying that he's a world, and then she is a Nova, and then he's the universe, and then she's anti-light, is it?
Anti-life, yes. So
Yeah,
that's why she
anti-life.
wasn't in the DC universe.
Right. So he ends up on the defensive, and now she's doing the attacks, you know, like she's saying the opposite of what he said. So I don't know how he managed to mess that up. He was doing quite well with the snake and the wolf.
She said that she was decaying, and as soon as she did that, she was on the offensive. Like, what can stop decay?
Okay, so then he's a new universe and whatever. So it was silly. I didn't like it. And eventually we think that he's beaten. And then the Raven gives him this little pep talk. You know, you're not beaten. You can do it. There is hope yet. And I thought I was watching like Jingle All the Way or something, you know, it's like, we will get that Christmas present. We will get it by tomorrow. There is hope. Everything is fine. Like, it is just this little pep talk of there is what can defeat the anti-life? It's hope. Like, there is still hope. And it was nonsense, right? It was a stupid scene.
It's bizarre. It's stupid. I mean, we've seen the Sandman. He's just so detached from people. He'll just come in, take up a bag of sand that's keeping somebody alive, and walk out of the room. He'll walk past somebody he's supposed to have loved for the past 10,000 years, and to be inspired by a stupid little bird. It's
Yeah, this little inspirational speech,
it doesn't work.
it doesn't. But it turns out that the kid's Christmas present was actually not the little toy from Jingle All the Way, but actually was hope. So they get hope, and that's what wins. And then they kind of then again, even the ending was terrible. So what beats hope? And I would have thought maybe fear or something, but Lucifer just says, oh, well, that's it. I lose. There you go. Give him his helmet. And the guy says no. So they push him off a cliff and give the dream his helmet. Didn't make any sense. The rules of the battle weren't explained. The battle was stupid. The ending was stupid. The inspirational bit was. This was a terrible scene.
Yeah, I mean, how it ends in it in the comics, they have a few panels where he's going, and that's it. That's how he loses.
Yeah,
It's not
can't think quick
because
enough. That makes sense, yeah.
it's not because he gives up, and it's just like, oh, well, hope. I mean, if it's if, one, it doesn't make sense because in the next game you're going to play, it's just like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm hope. It's like, why
Yeah.
go through anything else
But
if that's
also,
how you can play it?
no matter what she said, it's like, I'm a bear. Okay, I'm a comet that blew up all the things. I'm a snake. I'm another comet that blew up all the things. I'm a wolf. I'm a third comet, you know?
Wait, no, hang on. That doesn't work. That doesn't
Why
work.
does that not work?
Because how does a bear stop a comet, or how does a snake stop a comet?
They don't. The comet wins every time. That's
But
what I'm saying. Like, it's nonsense.
yeah, but no, because you actually have to be a thing that stops the other person. So if you say I'm a comet, I'm going to say I'm a nebula. You pass right by me and do nothing.
Yeah, well, then
That.
they move on to something else. But, like, in the beginning, she's the wolf, he kills the wolf, she's the snake, he kills the snake. Like, they could have just gone on with that, you know? But. So then Hope wins it, and it's all dramatic and yeah, whatever. And then he says, and this was the swerve, he says, "Oh, Lucifer, you were very honorable." And she's like, "Was I? Well, hold on a second. What if we don't let you leave?"
This didn't work either, for me, because it just made Satan, sorry, not
Look
Satan,
silly.
Lucifer, two separate people. Didn't realize that for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just made them look petulant and kind
Yeah.
of like you really lost, because she's standing in front of him and looking, towering over him and being all threatening and menacing. And he's, in the comics, it's a case of she says, "Well, I never agreed that any of these guys are going to let you go." And he actually manages to intimidate the entire crowd around him. And he just.
That's good. It's better than what we saw. But for me, the best thing would have been to do the honorable thing. Like, you won the fight, we'll fight again next time. I don't know why she tries to stop him.
But that, yeah, I mean,
But it doesn't even
it
go
just.
anywhere. It doesn't even go anywhere because he says, like, "You need me," and she's like, "We don't need you. Dreams have no, you have no power here." And he says, "Well, what if the dreams have no power here? And the important thing is that the people in hell need to be able to dream of heaven." And she's like, "Oh no, I'm totally stumped. Okay, well, on you go then. But we will fight again one day."
That's a good line in the comics. That's the only reason why they threw that in there.
The
But
line
that
is okay.
line, and that line is kind of like he intimidates the crowd with that and then just walks away and the crowd parts. They're kind of like, damn, actually maybe dreams do have a place here in hell.
That line makes more sense said to the crowd than it does said to Lucifer.
And Lucifer doesn't try and stop the dream. The dream the in the comics, Lucifer, who is a man, is expecting the crowd to stop. Like
Yeah.
he's just kind of like, ah, you're in trouble now, and he manages to get out of it, as opposed to
This.
like, I'm putting you in direct trouble, and just okay, well, all right, I lost the game. I'm going to be a brat. Oh, I'm being petulant now. It just
Sounds
doesn't
like the
work.
comics all makes more sense. Maybe I should go and read those. Oh no, what have you done to me? No, but
Oh, yeah, let's move on to the other story now.
let's get to the other story with our good friend, good
No,
guy John. So
no.
he's escaped from the asylum and he's walking around. If you remember, he was given a coat by Corinthian to cover up. And he's just like standing out in the rain, just this like vulnerable old man. And he's not been outside for 30 years. So he like stumbles into the road and almost gets hit by a car. And this pleasant lady, makes sure that he's okay and then finds out that he's going her way and says, "Look, I'll give you a lift. No bother." So she's giving him a lift and they start off by chatting and he says, "Oh, you seem like you're a very nice person, you're very good." And he talks about his mother died recently. Well, literally like 5 minutes prior, but he mentions his mother died recently. And then they start talking about, "Oh, she wasn't a good person anyway. She stole all these things and whatever." And she says, "Yeah, my husband wasn't good and he lied and as I hate liars." Okay. He's like, "Yeah, so I do hate those liars. And then sometimes I had to kill them." And it's like, oh, you've changed the tone there a little bit. And I think he makes that mistake of mentioning. And then she's like, oh, he killed people. And then she tries to like phone 911, but she messes up with the phone. And then even though the car's got petrol, she takes him to a gas station to get, presumably to get petrol, but really to ask the guy to phone 911, the employee. Now, she's lying to him, and that's the thing that she just said wasn't good to do, you hypocrite.
Now, this is really interesting because they did have a conversation about why people lie in the car.
They
And
did. And she said, "When you're scared, right?"
His point of view was people lie because they're fundamentally selfish. And she argued that people lie because they are afraid.
That's the
She
same
believed.
thing. She was being selfish. Self-preservation is the most egotistical thing you can do. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's a very rational thing to do. But for me, the rational is the self-interested.
She's also their dog, her dog is in the car as well, and she's also trying to protect the
Yeah.
dog as well.
I wouldn't worry about the
So
dog.
I get maybe it's the same thing, but it's definitely a different spin on something. You could be more sympathetic with somebody who's afraid than somebody who's just being selfish. It's something.
You can, unless, I mean, I would say that all fear is selfish because it is about self. She was afraid for herself, like for self-preservation.
I can be afraid for somebody else's safety.
Yes, but she was afraid for her own.
I mean, ultimately, if you boil everything down, I am a prisoner in my own body with only a small stick that I can poke out and sense the world around me. Everything is selfish. Everything can be boiled down to my experience for myself.
Yes, and I
But
don't think
that's
that that's a
why
bad thing. I think that that's fine.
I think it's just how things are. But
Yeah.
there's a difference between being selfish and being afraid. If you're afraid, you're say afraid for your life. Whereas if you're selfish, that's a motivation to gain things. You just want things.
Okay,
But
if
you
you can skew it that way, but you can argue that even fear for your life is still self-preservation, it's still self-interested, you know?
but well, yes, but everything you do can be argued as self-interested then.
It can. But
I
look,
have friends. I've
anyway.
gotten a present for my friend because he is my friend. My friend.
Of course, and I have argued this. I have written essays on this.
Anyway, either way, you could argue that they're the same thing. They're talking about the same thing from different perspectives, and one's much healthier because she's talking about fear, and that explains why
Okay.
she's lying in the gas station.
Well, does it? Because here's the thing. So this is the thing, right? This chap is a murderer, but he clearly explains that he killed the people who stole and who lied to him, okay? Which she has not done. He mentions two or maybe three times that she's a good person. She is not like the people he harmed, and that he likes her. Not to mention that she's helping him and he's essentially abandoned without her. And for some weird reason, she gets afraid.
The
What are you
murderer in our
afraid
car.
of? But he's not a maniac that goes around killing everyone. He killed
No.
people for a specific reason, and she doesn't fall into that.
Okay, so the fear is at what point does he decide that she falls into that category?
Yes, and you said
That's the
that.
fear.
I'm hoping not during a 20-minute taxi journey, but
You don't know. You never know. The
well,
guy spent 30 years in an asylum.
yeah, she then finds that out. He's like, I haven't been out for 30 years, and she's like, wait, what? You were in jail for 30 years? He's like, no, I wasn't in jail. I was in like a mental asylum. But wait, does that make her feel better?
It makes him more unpredictable. I mean, at least it's
Yeah.
prison. It's something. You've got some social skills, but in the same asylums.
So
Okay.
for 30 years. Yeah. So then what happens is she whispers to the guy to phone 911. He has supersonic hearing. And then the guy goes to shoot him, and the protection amulet kills the guy. Boom, blood splatters on the windows. And she caused this. She caused an innocent death.
I think John did.
No, good guy John.
No, 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 no.
No.
John could have just left. John could have just walked away.
Okay. Well, he was
No.
being threatened. That's what the amulet does.
He was being threatened and he walked
He has a
towards the guy with
psychological
the gun.
condition. You can't blame him for that.
Yes, I.
But look.
Oh.
Here's the thing, right? She could have just not been afraid and took him to his destination, and they would have been fine.
She could have not got up out of bed this morning, but you know.
What happens at the end? He comes back and she says, would you like to continue the lift? And he's like, you would let me back into your car again? He's being quite rational here. And she's like, well, yeah, I suppose, like, I will. And then good guy John says, she says, well, don't hurt me. He reaches into his pocket. And she says, why would I hurt you? You've helped me. You've given me a lift. You don't fit the criteria that people I'm against. You have absolutely nothing to fear from me.
She doesn't
Hold the
even say,
phone. I said that.
yeah, okay, Dean, but this is the other thing. I don't want you to find yourself in a car and think like, oh, well, I'm safe.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely fine. I don't want you to be in that position.
Well, on this occasion, she ended up
Also,
saying
sorry.
exactly what I thought.
Okay. The other thing is, she's not even worried about her own safety. She says, he reaches into his pocket and she says,
Don't hurt the dog. Yeah.
"Don't hurt the dog. I don't care what happens.
Which is
Don't hurt
silly.
the dog." No.
Okay, well, look, don't worry about the dog.
You don't have a
But
dog.
what happens is he says, like, why would I hurt you? You've helped me. And I was like, yeah, exactly. Like, we then realized when we discussed this, I was like, you see, you trust the murderer because he's telling you. And then it's like, well, hold on. The murderer could also be a liar, in which case, maybe you can't trust him.
So,
But I was right. And then, of course, he gives her, he's now got the ruby. So he gives her the amulet of protection.
yes.
Good
And
guy, John.
before this, after the Sandman got his helm back from hell, he actually teleported directly to the ruby because he had gained so much power back and was able to find it, only to find that it had been altered. It shocked him into the wall and, so he had it for a brief second. He had all three tools for
Brief
all of
second.
3 seconds.
How did John get the ruby? Sorry, I don't even remember.
They arrived in a car later on.
In the gas station? Oh, they just went and got it afterwards, right.
They drove there. It was where he had left it. He drove up, picked it up, and he had altered it for himself.
But I loved this story, and I loved that moment where I was arguing with you, like she shouldn't be afraid. He has no reason to kill her, and you're like, that's ridiculous. And then he says, you shouldn't be afraid. I have no reason to kill you. And I was like, ha
I was really hoping to change your mind before the end
ha.
of the episode. I was sitting here the entire time. I was like, no, Dean's going to end up with, given a hitchhiker a lift, and the hitchhiker's going to tell him he's not going to hurt him. And Dean be like, oh, that's great. That's wonderful. Thank you.
It's like saying, I don't know, like he says, I kill people who lie and steal. And then she starts lying. It's like, what are you doing? You're putting yourself into danger. You were safe before when you weren't lying and stealing.
Oh. But at what point she could say, oh, the weather's crazy weather we're having these days. And he might turn around and say, not crazy weather.
This is
You
very normal weather. Well, anyway, I
lied.
really liked
Liar.
his story and I liked the overall arc with the dream. So although I didn't like some things, I think it was an okay episode. Let's hope the next one's really good, because then I'll love all the odd numbered episodes. But I guess we will find out next time.
Sweet dreams, everyone.
Have a sleepy day.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.